What's up, you guys? Good morning, good evening, good afternoon to anyone who's listening to this. Welcome back, or welcome to Spirit Speaks Podcast, which is a podcast all about spirituality, spiritual concepts, and basically talking about how it doesn't matter where you are in life, doesn't matter what you're doing, what's going on, spirit is always speaking, and that is the spirit of your ancestors, the spirit of your higher self. And the spirit of spirit, the Holy Spirit, God, the Almighty Creator. That was a little heavy. Let me relax. So, today we have an amazing guest on the show. Someone who I've known for a while now, a long time now. A friend, a vegan chef, an entrepreneur, an influencer, an amazing encompassing superwoman. I'm super excited, and today we talk about veganism, specifically Afro-veganism and spirituality, and how veganism has contributed to spiritual growth, her spiritual growth, and the spiritual growth of the Black community in general. And I love what she does, especially with accessibility, delivering this food and spreading awareness about veganism in general on Twitter, on Instagram, and through her business and through what she contributes to the collective. So, without further ado, I'd love to introduce Kid and Fro. Okay, awesome. All right, so today... we have the awesome Kid and Fro, who is a model, chef, entrepreneur, amazing woman. And I will just put that little intro out there so that you can fully introduce yourself. So how would you describe yourself and what you do as a person on this earth?
So I'm a queer Nigerian artist, I would like to say firstly. Model, chef, poet, influencer. So I feel like I'm leaving something out. I always leave something out in April. Yeah. But that's pretty much the overall gist.
And what do you believe your purpose is in this lifetime from what you've seen thus far?
Correct. I would definitely say part of my purpose or a portion of it is healing myself, but helping others heal through their light and whatever their medium or purpose is, as well as like spreading my light to other people through my creative endeavors.
And I definitely, you know, I've told you this before, I definitely think healing is like 100% all a big part of your purpose through, especially your food and, you know, doing the Afro-vegan, being part of the Afro-vegan movement, which is so important. So just leading into that, I have you on here today to talk about veganism and spirituality and break down some things about Afro-veganism versus regular veganism and things like that. So could you give us a little brief, I guess, picture into your vegan journey and how you became vegan and how you started your business and everything like that?
Yeah, so I actually was in college when I started my vegan journey. I graduated like last semester.
Congratulations. So,
thank you. It was a long fucking road. I don't know if cursing is allowed, but
no, yeah, I curse all the time.
Okay. But my journey mainly started with my spiritual ascension, which I didn't know at the time until I look back now. I was kind of going through a bit of like a shift in my major. I studied Africana studies, so I was studying the African diaspora and people of the African diaspora and what it means to be African or based from Africa in America, as well as like the global African experience. So with that, it was kind of like a weird winter for me. I was like in the middle of my seasonal depression, but I also like started using tattoos as a form of healing. So I was kind of shifting in a way that was very physical, but also very spiritual too. So I ended up meeting a fellow Afro-vegan a couple months after that, like not too long. And he was letting me know about his experience and just teaching me about Dr. Sebi and teaching me about different people of the African diaspora who use veganism in their own ways for Black culture. And it came as a shock to me. I was like, okay, cool. Like, he want me to give up cheese, but I don't know, Doritos kind of slap. So we're going to see, like, and things, of course, with me, like, a lot of the, because I'm also polygamous, I'm queer. So at the time I was with someone who, it was kind of a monogamous bond, but he was just very giving in his healing. Like, he taught me so much about his livelihood and what it meant for him to be plant-based. I was amazed. Like, I couldn't, like, not be intrigued by it. So I was like, okay, cool. Like, and then he started showing me documentaries and things like that. Some people would call it propaganda, but it was honestly the truth. I did my own personal research after, like, he would put me on the information. And I was just like, oh, okay, cool. So cheese does this to the body and dairy does this. And it came down to the point where it was like, okay, cool. I'm doing all this research. So slowly but surely, because when I met him, I was vegetarian. So I was eating no meat, but I still had dairy products in my diet. So milk, cheese, things like that. So when it came to...
And just to clarify for everybody, could you just define veganism really quick so that everybody's on the same page? Because you never know.
Yeah, so mainstream veganism is the adoption of a non-animal product diet. So it means that a person or whoever is doing it does not consume meat, any form of dairy, or like any form of any animal products at all. And people are actually shocked because when I tell people certain things like, oh, yeah, there's animal products in that, like the smallest things in our capitalist society has animal products in it. Like, for example, yogurt, milk, cheese, those are the most prominent things that people know about. People usually don't know that most seasonings are plant-based, but some of them can have like chicken broth, like things like that. Yeah, so that's like the definition of like mainstream veganism. And some people even take it further to mean that it's like it's the loving of animals, but it's also like stripping away animal cruelty from your diet. So some people take it further to like not wear leather, to make sure that their makeup is vegan, and things like that. So that's what veganism is.
Thank you.
No problem. For my journey, it was like, okay, cool. So I'm learning all these facts, I'm doing all these things, and then it came across one day, like we were watching a documentary and a Black Southerner came on the screen and was talking about how a lot of the corporations that's around him use his farm as a dumping ground, and he actually got cancer. His family members got cancer because pretty much of environmental racism. And I was like, okay, so this is what environmental racism is. Like, I learned about that, and I was like, that kind of pivoted me, like, automatically. Like, I stopped eating Doritos that day. Like, when I saw him get on screen and I saw how, like, active racism was, like, because I studied about racism. So seeing it in, like, practice, like seeing that some, like, there are people in the South getting sick because their homes are being used as like a dumping ground for corporations. I was like, okay, so this also extends further to up in the North, because I'm like, a lot of our supermarkets in inner city neighborhoods, we don't have proper food. Like, we eat a lot of cold cuts, we eat a lot of like processed sugar, and a lot of food that not nourishing for our bodies or our souls, to be honest. So then I was like, okay, cool, like this is something that I want to learn more about and expand about. So then I kind of came back to school. This person was also a chef that influenced my journey, so I this thing and I was like, oh, okay, cool. Like, a couple, like 4 months went by and Thanksgiving came up. And I was like, okay, cool. I'm the only vegan in my African family. So, like, what am I going to bring to Thanksgiving that'll, like, because I want to eat, like, and my grandma my family's mainly African and Southern, so my grandma usually throws down in the kitchen, and she heard I was vegan, and she was like, what are you going to eat? And I was like, oh, snap. Like, I couldn't even eat her greens, like her collard greens, because she puts, like some type of pork broth in it, I think. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, man. So then I looked up quick recipes, like, when my mom, like, the main things that my grandma would make that I liked, and I was like, okay, I love her baked mac and cheese, I love her greens, and I love her ribs. I was like, okay, cool, let me just look up recipes real quick on Pinterest for vegan, like, what they're saying about these items, but vegan, like, so I looked them up, and I was like, oh, okay, these are not too bad, like, so that was when I first started to find and use substitutes for animal products. So I brought the items over, and my mom and my family helped me make it, and then when it was in the oven, like, I was hearing comments like, oh, that smells good. This smells good. But I also got, oh, one more thing I got was cornbread, because that's another thing my grandma bust down on. So I put it in the oven, took it out the oven, and they were the first to demolish it. I barely got any food. It's like, oh, this is good. Like, this tastes like, because the baked mac was the thing that everybody was hung up on. It was like, oh, no, this tastes like it got dairy cheese in it. Like, this is good. And I was like, okay, cool. So if my meat eating family likes it, and they're very critical Africans. I was like, okay, if these critical Africans is liking this, let's see how it goes. So then I hit up my group chat with my girls, and I was like, yo, my family actually really liked the food. And they were like, word? And I was like, yeah. So I came back to college, and I was like, yo, I think I'm gonna drop a menu in a group chat, like, and just see who wants to order.
Mm-hmm.
So, because every, like, SUNY has, like, a major group chat that everybody talks in. So I sent it in the group chat. People were liking it, placing orders. I was like, oh, wow. I got over, like, 15 orders for the first time. So I was like, okay, cool. So I'm making the food just like I did at my grandma's house for Thanksgiving. And people loved it. And ever since then, like, I haven't really stopped, to be honest.
And so. just moment of silence, please, for this person's mac and cheese and just whole vegan, like, when I tell y'all, like, I was just better than even regular mac and cheese. I'm not even trying to gas this person right now. And you blessed me, because I actually, so just for the listeners, I went to SUNY, she went to SUNY as well, but we kind of linked for her to do my hair, and then after that we went, oh no, actually before that I went to your picnic.
You with my papa before.
Yes, and you blessed me with, like, leftovers, and I could not stop eating that shit. When I tell you, if you are in the NYC area, or I'm sure you'll be traveling soon, please be on the lookout. And of course we'll include all of the ads and everything where you could find. You. Yes, of course. Oh my God. And you know, I think that's so beautiful how it was able to just blossom and progress. And I really do think that because it was so successful off that's really a sign from spirit that this is exactly what you're supposed to do. I truly believe it. Sure. Yeah. And just being so good at something just intuitively. It's a beautiful thing, and that's how you really know that you have a gift. But so I really want to talk about, and I loved how you mentioned, you know, environmental racism and specifically targeting the Black community when it comes to eating healthy and being healthier. And I just would love for you to just take a moment and talk about the differences in your opinion of, you know, Afro-veganism and regular veganism.
So this is actually a question that I love, because it's like what I do, but also it's like just spreading the knowledge is really important to me, because Afroveganism is growing very largely, which I'm happy about. But to me, everything starts in the hood. Like, you have to start in your inner cities to let it expand more. So I've been, because a lot of people think, even my family, like, I've been ridiculed like crazy, like, I've had to educate people down to the T, because people assume, or people of color, and they're actually not wrong, that veganism is a white thing, or it's like a white people thing, or it's like a thing that's not accessible to our communities. And that can be true, but that's also propaganda to keep us from being healthy. So Afro-veganism is just what the definition that I stated about veganism, but Africana based. And Africana is just the understanding that people of the African diaspora globally, so all over the globe, not just the United States, not just Africa, but all over, people of African descent all over the world can enjoy veganism and can enjoy veganism and make it cultural and make it soulful. Because I personally, like, when I went vegan, I was went vegan in New York City, so I went like food blogging for the summer. So I went to different food spots, and I was so amazed, and I'm blessed, honestly, to even be in New York City, like, to see so many vegan spots, like, so much flavor, because that was my thing. Like, I'm like, okay, I've heard of tofu, that's not a vibe. I've heard of these other, like, fake meat things, and I'm like, nah, like, I'm African. I love cultural, soulful food. Like, I love my jollof rice, I love my goosey soup, like, I love my okra soup, like, so I was like, okay, so how am I going to do this and still maintain flavor? Because that's the most important thing. And then texture. So Afroveganism is just the understanding that environmental racism affects people of color globally. Doesn't matter where you are. Environmental racism can change. But it's also the understanding that the importance of the mind-body-soul connection starts with you. And it starts with people of color. It starts with us, because our trends or our livelihood expands across everywhere and becomes trends. So it's like, if that can happen, imagine what will happen if we take our health seriously. Things will drastically change, like, because people don't realize what you're putting into your body then affects how you operate in the world. And if we operate in different, who knows what could happen? We could own crazy things, like, we could take over. So it's the understanding that, honestly, living in your power and living in your health and living in the nourishment of your soul is what can lead you to a greater awakening, but it can also lead you to just feel better and live better. So,
and that was a perfect transition to my next question, but I really want to spend just 2 seconds talking about, just to say something about commenting on what you said, especially with what you said with, you know, Black farmers being targeted and things like that. And I just want to clarify for everyone who didn't know, who's listening to this, in undergrad I learned a lot about public health, global health, and a lot of things that we learn about are these systematic systems that are put into place to make sure that certain communities don't have access to certain things. So I think what you really do is you are able to bring, you as a chef, as a vegan chef, and the movement that you've contributed to, you're able to really bring wellness from the perspective, from an African or Afro-American, I guess, perspective, right? So making these things more accessible by using vegan ingredients to remake some of the things that we've grown up with. And I think that's what's so important, you know. And we have to understand that the government is, this is not on accident. food deserts aren't on accident, you know. Especially, like, even stepping outside of the Black community, talking about the Native American community, we learned a whole bunch about, you know, how the closest produce place is miles and miles away from reservations, and the main foods that they have access to are canned foods and processed foods and things like that, on top of the fact of the wage gap or whatever is going on with job availability with those communities. So it all comes into play. So it's all on purpose, but people like you who are really trying to push forward the agenda of making it more accessible are so important, because you are, because I know you do travel, you know, you do deliveries and you do pickups, but you oftentimes, I'm sure you travel to areas that aren't having, you know, vegan places around the block, like some areas in Brooklyn.
I really mean, and it's crazy because, and it does take, and this is not to be like boastful or anything like that, because if people know me, they know, like, I really work my ass off for my communities. Like, this isn't even about me. Like, I got this calling and I was like, okay, cool, like, because some people, like, wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing, because realistically speaking, like, I've been in the hood, like the deepest parts of Brooklyn, traveling with plates My friends could tell you, like, I'm still working on, like, traveling and stuff like that because, like, I'm very nomadic, so I move very quick in the matter of, like, hours.
I mean,
even like,
I've seen you with the cart, with the cart of plates. I see your shit.
Yes.
Yes, you gotta do.
Like, I'll be in Brooklyn. Yes, I'll be in Canarsie with, like, bags of food going to the hood. Like, and that's to show just my love, but it's also like I grew up in the hood, so I don't really be scared, and I know I need to be protected and things like that, but that's just to show you like I really care about my communities, like, and I'm not gonna let nobody lack, to be honest. Like, if you want the food, I'm gonna bring it. Like, so, and it's just great to have exposure, like, because with this I'm able to learn different parts of New York and learn what food deserts are where, and like where my customers are located, and It's just amazing having that pool.
And I think that also contributes to the difference between regular veganism and Afroveganism is the people behind this movement are actually going out to these areas that do not have access. Meanwhile, you have white vegans. I don't want to make this a white and black thing, but this is just what it is. It's my fucking podcast, whatever. You have white vegans, you know, popping up in where Chelsea, you know, East Village, whatever, and where there's already such a big concentration. And we understand, yeah, sure, you want to go where the money is, but at the same time, what are we doing with veganism? We're promoting healing, we're promoting wellness. You're only allowing a certain amount of people to have access to that wellness. So what are you actually like, what are you actually doing?
Exactly. And it's crazy to see. Because it's like a lot of the food spots in New York that are vegan, like, I don't, to be honest with you, even like when I do eat out now, I try not to, just because in terms of pricing, like, it can be very expensive. Like, I was looking at this vegan brunch spot the other day, and I was like, dag, a stack of pancakes costs $20. Like, what's going on? And then, like, and there was this one spot that I went to with my friend, because she went, like, my best friend went vegan before me. Like, she's been vegan for, like, 4 to 6 years. And when I transitioned, she took me to the spot, and the bill, like, afterwards, I was like, girl, like, nah. And even with my pricing, like, I definitely try my best to, like, make sure that the pricing that I use or my menu pricing options start at least at $10. And then range, like, go up based on like what the person wants. And then now I'm blessed to be like so into this, because now I'm looking at menu options and I'm making many things, like mini burgers, many like sides of fries and stuff like that, so it can still be accessible to people, because that's the most important thing, because once you remove the access, it's still an issue. Like,
exactly. So now I want to, and you spoke a little bit about this before, but I really want to get into this. How do you think veganism has, or do you think veganism has changed or affected your spirituality? And if so, how? And I know you spoke a little bit about awakening and taking back your power and things like that. So I'd love for you to just expand on that if you can.
Yeah, for sure. So I've always been the type of person to be like a bookworm. Like, I've always been interested in Black issues and Black greatness and things like that. But when it's come to my veganism, like, I can honestly say I wake up every day in a different part of my spiritual awakening. Like, it's beautiful, and it's also it's shown me a lot about myself, because veganism has always just been about grounding. Like, now that I'm like into my journey more, it's really about grounding, because I'm also a Virgo earth sign. So, and like, even with that, like, as I started to get into veganism, it's like astrology, things of the occult had became more like present to me and more relevant, in that it's definitely helped me see why I'm doing this and what I'm doing it for. And even just my passion, but also like my life calling, like, it's definitely been revealed to me through my plant-based living. And that's just because I'm more focused, but I'm also like, there's less toxins in my body, like, distracting me from being tired or being, less depressed, well, more depressed, and being like more like just just not in tune with my body, to be honest with you, because I'm definitely more in tune with my body now.
And why do you think that is?
And that's
like
it's fine. It definitely comes with what we put in our body, because I definitely consume more plants now than I did then. But also, it depends on what type of plants. Like, what does each individual person's body need? And for me, it's mainly like chlorophyll, sea moss, like those, black seed oil, like those three things. When I started using sea moss, my life changed. Like, honestly, skin wise, but also like feeling better on the inside helps the outside. And just in terms of manifestations and attracting things that are better for where I am in my life now, it's definitely easier for me to do so now that I step into my truth. But it's also just, it comes like water. It comes very natural, to the point where sometimes I'll question myself and I'm like, whoa, that was a little too there. Like, what's happening? But that's the part of my spiritual journey I'm in now, like standing in my truth and knowing my gifts, because that's what I've been blessed with, and just seeing what it is and what it's about.
So, like, general benefits of veganism. You mentioned depression. You mentioned maybe like your change in energy, like the amount of energy that you have.
Yeah, definitely. I would also say clearer skin for sure. Like my skin has been great. Hair growth on 10,000. I would definitely say, like, I'm actually helping a friend get more accustomed to her plant-based diet now, and she's already let me know, like, 2 weeks in, her body's already showing her the cravings that she used to have. Like, she used to eat a lot of sugars, processed sugars, things like that, non-plant-based things, and now she's like, yeah, what did she say? She was like, I'm starving, but I'm not, but she has no appetite. And I was like, I was like, have you been drinking your water? Because I know that's something for people who transition into like plant-based diets a lot. Like, a lot of people don't know what to substitute for things, so they end up leaving the lifestyle because they didn't do their research or they don't know what to do. And that's not to say my sister didn't do her research, because she on it. But I had to ask her. I was like, have you been drinking your water? And she was like, oh, that's it. And I was like, yeah, you got to drink at least 4 bottles of water a day. And she was like, nah, that's really it. Because our bodies are like 80% water. So we need to be consuming water very, very, like, throughout the day. And then I told her, I was like, your body is releasing those old habits. So now it's time to fill your body with the right habits, with the right sugars, like with the right natural sugars. So that's another thing. Your body, getting in tune with your body will definitely happen. You'll see what your body really actually wants. And also being able to control hunger, because that's another thing that out here, like over consumerism, we consume way too much food for no reason.
So like you said, with grounding and control.
Yeah, like being able to understand what your body really needs, because half the time, a lot of people, I'm realizing this little bare conversation, people eat when they're not hungry. You're not supposed to do that. Because we have this misconception that, oh, I need to eat this time of the day and I need to make sure I get... But that's not true. If your body's not hungry, why are you eating? You're forcing yourself to eat. That's not helpful. So also, like, just realizing what portion controls one really wants and / needs. And I would definitely say gut health has been a thing, like, for me. Because womb health is very important for Black women, and that's something that has definitely changed for me drastically, and I can see it just in my menstrual, and it's just crazy. I tell Black women all the time, like, you don't even have to go fully vegan. Just put more plants in your diet, and you will see a change in your menstrual quick, because that happened to me so quick. I was like, whoa. Like, to this day, I'm like, whoa, because the women in my family have very heavy menstrual cycles. And I just didn't know what it was. Like, I was in like eighth grade, passing out when my menstrual would come, completely lethargic. Like, and it followed me to my young womanhood. And when I went plant based, my period completely changed. Like, my menstrual shorter, way shorter. Like, I used to have, my period used to be at least 5 days long. Now my period is, what, 3 days? Max, 4 days max. Like, and even within my last cycle that I had, because usually I'm in a lot of pain, so I take a lot of, like, painkillers, and that's also not good, because any, like, pill, anything of pill form that's from the government, I'm gonna be honest, is addictive.
Yeah.
Like, and no, like, yeah, it doesn't need to be in anyone's body, honestly. And I found out ibuprofen is actually a blood thinner. So that wasn't even helping me. I was taking ibuprofen for, like, the pain. My last cycle, I didn't need to take any pain medication. All I did was drink 3 bottles of chlorophyll water a day. I had my Lyme shots every morning or every rising. And I felt completely, I felt great during my menstrual. So I was like, okay, so now I know how to take care of myself in a very vulnerable state. But my body has definitely spoken to me and let me know, like, yeah, we don't need that no more. Like, we good.
Yeah.
So
I completely resonate with that. And I'm sure, have you read the book, The Sacred Woman? I'm pretty sure you have.
Yes. So actually, I haven't, and I feel so behind because so many of, like, my fellow spiritual Black women have told me to do so, and I'm just, like, so caught up with different stuff. That
girl, it's literally but everything you just, really like, you already doing it, girl.
Exactly. And that's, yes, that's another why. And that's of the spiritual would give me, I'm already inherently because of my plant-based lifestyle. So it's like, okay, cool. Like, I'm able to be kind of a couple steps ahead of the game. But I'm definitely going to get the book. It's in my
You need it. It's great. I mean, it's great. Just the readings and what she says about Kemet and everything is just so beautiful. But you mentioned the chlorophyll and you mentioned the cycles. I experienced the same exact thing when I was just studying for the GRE and working at night. I was really able to be 100% vegan, and every morning I would do, she recommends for a womb cleanse in the morning, you do chlorophyll, raw garlic, cayenne pepper, a couple other things. But when I was doing that every day for probably like a month, and it was like my period, like almost to non-existence, because I usually don't even have a heavy one. But when you do those things, it really does clean you out, and it really helps you connect. And like you said, like speaking about grounding, you know, and reconnecting and really understanding what your body needs, and not just what your, I don't even know, not even your mind. I wouldn't even say that's your mind. A lot of people talk about parasites. I don't know if you know anything about, like, parasites.
Yeah, that's for sure. That's one thing. It's really a slavery thing, because once you control, once you get your body on a certain amount of sugar and a certain amount of processed things, your body won't be able to get off of it unless you completely cleanse that out. So, and that's what that's where parasites come in, because a lot of meat and a lot of dairy have parasites in them, and those things can live inside of your body. And they feed off of the processed sugar and all of those other things that one has their body, like, religiously connected to. So that's why a lot of people eat so much sugar, and they have, like, a lot of cravings.
Sugar is just addictive as cocaine. Like, it's been proven.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that's not even to say just, like, other people, because I have the cravings too, but it's just a matter of getting control over them, and not necessarily control, because I feel like that can be, like, a negative, like, word, but just knowing how to maneuver them, I guess, is a better way.
And speaking back on womb health, do you have any suggestions other than, you know, chlorophyll water for cleanses or anything with health? Like, what would you suggest as far as a cleanse to get someone started, or maybe kick someone off who wants to become more vegan?
Yeah, so I would say for a week, or not even if a, or not even a week, like just 3 days really, you could, the person could do lime shots in their rising. So buy a fresh lime, specifically key limes. If you can't find a key lime, then a regular lime is fine. And get a juice squeezer, or you could squeeze it into a cup yourself, and like take it like a shot, and the rising as well as when one is about to go to bed.
What about for apple cider vinegar? Which one do you prefer and why?
Yeah.
Because I've been confused about that.
So I'm not a fan of apple cider vinegar, but I will definitely say it has its benefits. I personally just do my lime shot with cayenne pepper. I also use black pepper, turmeric, and some thyme as like the seasonings. I mainly try to use alkaline seasonings because that'll help alkalize the body and get your day started, as well as cleanse out your body for the night so that when you rise, you'll feel better. I know people use apple cider vinegar for like hair things, like to clean one's hair, but I definitely would recommend like mixing apple cider vinegar with lime juice. Or that lime shot to like basically double the effect, because that sounds like it would be amazing. I also recommend, I mean, I don't have a specific brand of chlorophyll, but I'm the type of person where I love my plants, but some of them have some really earthy tastings. And ooh, girl. So I get liquid chlorophyll because this, like the chlorophyll, like tablets and supplements, and I personally don't be down with that. So I get liquid chlorophyll, and you can put it in. It tastes better when you refrigerate.
And they have spearmint flavor. They have spearmint flavor chlorophyll.
Yeah, they have different flavors. They have like apple, mint, and you can get it off Amazon if one can't find it in their like local health store. You put it in the fridge for it to be like for it to taste better, and then put a couple drops in your water. So it's not like overwhelming. And sea moss for sure, like for sure, no questions about it. What people need to go be going to get it right now. So I recommend putting it in a gel form so that it's easier to consume, so that it's not as earthy. Because I will let you know, sea moss definitely tastes like the bottom of the
ocean. Oh yeah. So how would you? So just for anyone who doesn't know, how do you prepare sea moss? As I know, but I want you to explain it.
Yeah, so there's two different methods. So if you don't have a blender, and you're like me, you like to do things old-fashioned, you can get the actual sea moss, and then you can put it in a bowl. You can put spring water or like regular water if you want, but I recommend spring water, and put like the water above the sea moss, and then let it sit for a day or so that it can expand, and so that it can get like all of the like ocean stuff off of it so that you can actually use it. Then you can get, you can put water in a pot, let it boil, and then put water in the pot, put the sea moss in the pot, let it boil, put cinnamon, nutmeg. What else do I put in there? Yeah, cinnamon and nutmeg, usually that's it. Some sea salt to help with like alkalize it. And then you let it boil. Then it'll turn into like a slimy kind of like substance.
And this is before you blend it? This is before you blend it too?
Oh, well, I didn't say the blending method yet. This is like the over the stove method.
Okay.
Yeah, there's two methods.
Got you.
Yeah, so this is for people without a blender. So you're going to let it become a little slimy, but it's still going to be hot. So then you're going to I put mine in a mason jar so I can like have it stocked for the week. And then you put it in the fridge, and it'll become cold, and then it'll thicken to become a gel. So with this, you can put it in your foods, because sea moss basically doesn't taste like anything after you properly like prepare the gel. So you can then put it in smoothies, food, and honestly, I put sea moss in everything because it really helps.
Like, and what does it do to the body exactly?
So it has, if I'm not mistaken, it has like 99 minerals out of like 110 that the body needs. So it literally has all of those vitamins, all those supplements, everything that we need in our bodies to nourish our body. So even if one doesn't buy chlorophyll or buy limes, you can literally get sea moss and like consume sea moss once or twice a week, and it'll do the same thing as the chlorophyll plus the lime.
Really? Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's hella powerful. Yeah, I'm telling y'all, if y'all just use sea moss for 3 days straight, you'll see the difference. But, yeah, I put cinnamon, nutmeg, and I forgot what else I said. But yeah, you put that in the fridge. You let it become its like shape, and then you could put it in. I recommend putting it in smoothies because it's really good. Smoothies, food. I use it as a face mask, a hair mask. Like, I'm telling you, I use this stuff. Like, so that's that method. And then for the blender, which is the recent method I found out about from a homie, you can get a blender. You're going to do the same thing to the sea moss that I mentioned. You're going to let it sit in water. You're going to let it expand to like to the next day. Then you're going to put the sea moss in the blender. You're going to blend it. Oh, yeah. You're going to put the sea moss in the blender. And then you're going to fill water basically all the way to the top of the blender. You want it to be like 3 times the amount of the sea moss. And then you're going to blend it. And that's going to create also like a slimy, pretty much it's going to create what it would have looked like if you did it over the stove. So it's going to create like this slimy texture again. And you can put whatever herbs you want in it, like thyme, cinnamon, nutmeg again before you blend it. And then you're going to transfer that to a cup again and put it in the fridge. And you can do whatever you want.
Okay. And I sure do have some sea moss in my cabinet right now that I haven't touched.
Hey, I just got some.
I really like that, the nutmeg and cinnamon. I feel like that would be really good to just add to smoothies in the morning really quick. I had no idea that it was... Wow, that's crazy. I have to go back and take some more notes on this episode because I'm learning a lot here. Okay, awesome. Okay, so that... Also, what would you suggest as people who want to transition to veganism? What do you even start? Like, basic. What's your advice?
So I think the basic thing is just to increase your water intake. I wouldn't even say, oh, start with these plants and try this and reduce the meat. Nah, I'm not going to tell you to do that because I already know, like, realistically speaking, we people. And meat is, at least American meat is very addicting because they add other stuff to it. So it's, I hate when people tell people, oh, just cut out all the meat instantly because that's not realistic. Mm-hmm. I would say consume more water, specifically spring water, S-P-R-I-N-G. It has to be over, it has to be the pH of over 8 and up. It has to be like pH of 8 and up. That's very important. And if you can't find spring or alkaline water, because spring and alkaline are the same thing, I would definitely say tap water is fine, but I would advise boiling it over the stove to remove all the toxins and everything else out of it, because I know when we in the hood, they put stuff in the water, and you don't want to be consuming that. So you can literally put water on the stove, boil it, let it cool down, then put it in the fridge and drink at least 4 bottles of water a day. And even if that's tough, start at least with 2 large bottles of water, or even 1, honestly, just drink more water first. And then I would advise people to do their research on superfoods, because that's what's mainly important. So chlorella, I think it's called, sea moss, different spirulina. I don't even know how to pronounce these words. Spirulina, like those different superfoods. And even if you just look up the word superfoods, I'm pretty sure all of them are going to come down. Like, it's going to be like a drop-down menu. Do your research on those. And start with the basics, because, like I said, each person is different. So, like, if one experiences depression pretty often or seasonal depression, I wouldn't recommend, this is why I do consultations, because I wouldn't recommend a certain superfood for that person, because it can trigger their depression. So I would definitely say look into your superfoods, because I know a lot of us have heard of certain superfoods, but we've just never consumed them. So do that, and then the basics you could start with, like I said, is the liquid chlorophyll, which you can find on Amazon or your local health store. The sea moss. Sea moss, it depends on where you're at. Some people might not be able to find it.
You can find it on Amazon.
It's also, but it's also really important to get the real sea moss, because there's like counterfeit ones, and yeah, you don't want to be consuming that, because that's just as bad as like flat.
Oh, Lord. I didn't know that.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm kind of blessed because I'm in New York. So there's like Caribbean markets where I can get like Jamaican sea moss, like straight from like Irish quinoa, straight from the source. But I would definitely say that. Or if you can't find raw sea moss, you can find like Irish moss drinks. And that's another thing that you could do with your sea moss when it creates a gel. I like to create Irish moss drink, and a lot of people like laugh at these things or use it for like sexual libido, because sea moss does help raise like sexual stamina. Mm-hmm. You can put the gel in the blender along with coconut milk and any form of plant-based milk, along with cinnamon, nutmeg, a little bit of black pepper, some agave or date sugar. Blend it and it'll create like a white drink, and you can use that for like sexual libido, or just if you want to consume your sea moss in a tasty way without it being tasteless. Mm. So, yeah, those are the things I would recommend.
Yeah, and while you were talking, I was really just thinking about how, like, I think just adding a few things every day or once a week really allows you to be more conscious of what you consume in general. So I think that will actually start the pattern of being veganism, and that's why being vegan, and that's why, you know, you mentioned those little changes, because just adding these things will start to bring your attention to these things and shift the way that you want to feed yourself and nourish your body.
Awesome, okay, so
that was all of my questions. I appreciate you so much for being here. Before you leave, please give us all your information really quick. Of course, it'll be in the description, but just before you leave, I'd love for you to say everything.
For sure. So my Instagram is @kidandfro, KIDANDFRO, like the movie Kid and Play, but fro at the end. And then my business Instagram, that was my personal Instagram, is the same, @kidandfro with VSF at the end for vegan soul food. My business is officially LLC, so it's Nourish the Soul LLC.
Awesome.
But our like alternative name is Kid and Fro's Afro Vegan Cuisine, or Kid and Fro's Vegan Soul Food. Mm-hmm. So you'll see all of that on the Instagram page. My website is nourish-the-soul.com.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that information is on my Instagram. So yeah.
Okay.
And my Twitter is @kidandfro.
Awesome. Okay. I'm going to put everything in the description. It was so amazing having you. Thank you so much for coming on.
Yes. No problem. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Yeah.
Bye.
As always, thank you guys for listening. And of course, please go in the description to get all of her ads and her website, to book some orders, especially if you're in the NYC area. I promise you, you will not be disappointed. And I'm not just saying that. Y'all know I moved to New Orleans from New York last year, and I still to this day crave this girl's food. I swear. Okay. But please go to the description to get all the info with that. Please follow her on all the socials. And as always, if you would like to throw a penny, a nickel, a dime into my Cash App, you guys know Venmo and Cash App are both Your Spiritual Mermaid. And the money that you would be donating to the podcast would help me upgrade my microphone, upgrade my editing system, upgrade my life, okay? And of course, I've already had a whole bunch of people reach out to me for readings after this podcast, and I'm so grateful. And of course, that website is yourspiritualmermaid.com. That's where I do all my spiritual readings, angel readings, a lot of mediumship, self-love workshops, chakra cleansing workshops, written readings, all the things, okay? So if you are interested in that, please go to yourspiritualmermaid.com, and I will talk to you all soon. Peace, love, and light, everybody.